So tonight what I'd like to share is a question with you. Do you know Father wants to feel at, you to feel at home with Him? And that He wants to be at home with you. About a week ago or so, I was sitting down reading an article from a magazine that we received from a ministry. And he was talking about taking time to spending time at the throne room, in the throne room, with God. And as I read that, I heard Father say, "No, no, no, I want you to spend time at home with me." He said, "It's time for us to recognize there's a difference between a house and a home." Now, many of you probably would say, okay, we can have a house that looks like an apartment, a mansion, anything in between. You know, we can have a shack in some place, a house that is just built out of cardboard and sticks or metal pieces or whatever. You can construct a house out of any kind of material that you can find on this earth. Depending on where you live, it may be a different material, but it's going to be a structure that possibly a group of people live in. But a home is so much more than just a structure where people live. And that's what I wanted to begin to help you recognize, that there's a lot more to a home. A home, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary that we have a copy of, it says a home is a sacred refuge of our life. It's a constant residence where we feel close with others. And I would imagine that some of you, you may not be familiar with, the cultures may have different phrases, but there's a phrase that I've heard in the United States that says, a woman can make a house a home. She has the knack of doing that in a way that men may not, simply because that's the way God has gifted us. So, while I'd like to ask you each, we might not get it recorded very well, so I'm going to list a couple of the qualities that I think make a house a home. For me, for it to be a home, it means it has to be a warm, inviting place where people sense love. You know, they're going to experience love in their hearts when they come into that place. They're going to feel they can really say that, oh, it just feels good. They're cozy, so to speak. It's also a safe place. It's a place where they can feel secure, a person feels secure and that they belong. It's a place where they can feel accepted and loved, which then allows them to relax and rest. Put their feet up and just relax. There's nothing expected other than just to be at that in that home. People, but especially parents, are meant to be inviting us into a home where we're willing to be accepted even if we've made mistakes or fail. That's where a lot of us have been challenged to experience that in our home growing up. But this is the part that really was emphasized to me, is that a home is a place where arms embrace, where looks love every person that comes through the door, and words of encouragement are spoken, all of which then strengthen our hearts and make us feel that we want to be there because we're ready to have healthy relationships. A home, I believe, is ultimately where we experience relationships that are life-giving, that are breathing into us words of encouragement and love, and therefore make us feel good. Can you see that that's what our Heavenly Father wants for His kids? He wants all of us to come home to Him. A home is a place where we can be ourselves, and not one thing is expected, but we know that we still have a place and belong. It's not based on our performance, but we have a place in that home, in that house. We can be at home when we know we have a place in someone's heart. And I believe that's the huge key to making a house a home. Because when you know that those other people in that house, so to speak, want to be with you, are pleased to be with you, then you can feel that you really belong, you can be at rest and peace, and you can have the enjoyment of being together with other people. Now, our society has a tendency to make us feel like we have to do everything right in order to merit feeling that way in our homes. We think we have to perform well or we may not be accepted and loved. And as I was sitting down pondering all this, the Lord was really speaking to me about a house where there are no heart connections. And I know some people, we had a lady we ministered to a long time ago that said she lived with her mother and dad, but they were like cardboard people. Mm-hmm. They were there, but they weren't there. There were no heart connections. When there are no heart connections, then what is going to happen to that home? It's going to be all about what you do. Your tasks, your routines become the earmark of what you're believing is going to merit love and acceptance and how hopefully getting a connection with that those other people. And when that happens, you may feel good for a little bit, but ultimately, those get really old and hard to do at times, and you can feel like it's a fleeting thing to feel like you have a place in someone's heart when it's just about what you do, when it's about your performance. And I grew up in a home where I was not told that I had to perform for love, but I felt like I had to merit. I had to do something in order to merit love. My dad would really express any love and appreciation to me. We can end up judging ourselves on how well we perform and therefore not feel that we have any value. And guess what? That can carry over from our natural home to our Heavenly Father. And we think that we don't have a place with Him if we don't do it well. In fact, He just wants us to be His children. Busyness of life. I'm going to say I think this is a huge part of what we're dealing with in today. Busyness of life in the places where we grew up may say that doing is more important than the time of being still and interacting with other people. We've gotten to the place where everybody has got such busy schedules. Okay? Everybody thinks everybody else is busy. I mean, I had somebody come in this evening saying, oh, I just know you're so busy. I'm not too busy to be involved with people, though. See, because for me, people are the most important commodity that I have the opportunity to impact on this earth. But when we grew up in homes, if there wasn't time taken to be in conversation with your parents or somebody in them finding out, what happened today for you? If nobody asks you that, if nobody is interested, if nobody wants to engage you in a conversation and care about you enough to get to know what's on your heart, understand you, and hear you, you're going to think that doing things is more important than relationship. And that's where I think that we have really struggled, because sitting and looking into someone's eyes and talking to them face to face is the most important way that we show value to another person. It's not about everything else that we do for them as much as actually being with them, because time, T-I-M-E, says you're important and valuable. It's the only way that really and truly people are going to be sure that they really are loved and valued. I believe that's just 100% what I sense that Father's emphasizing to me personally is for sure. Home is meant to be a place of rest. When there's time to rest, then there's time to talk. When there's time to talk, then there's relationship and love and intimacy that's built in that house that I think all goes together to make a home. And so many people, yes, we have many good things that we have jobs, we have school, we have all sorts of responsibilities, things that need to take place. But if we don't approach them from that place of knowing we're loved just because we are, just because Father created us, then we can get so stirred up on the inside that we can't be at peace and rest on the inside, and therefore, whatever we need to do is we may struggle to do it. I know I can get there. So if we focus on being in relationship and fellowship with Father, then I believe when that happens first, then we can go home to Him and then experience all that He has always wanted for us. He's the one that I believe puts the heart in the home. And so maybe women are more prone to making a house a home, but He began to talk to me about, oh, it's really His heart When a woman has his heart, then she's able to make the house a home. Because she's at peace and rest, and then she can allow that to be for her family, and then it multiplies and gets bigger and bigger. So my question that he asked me then is, so where did Jesus come from? In John 1:18 it says he came from the bosom of the Father. It was a place of close intimacy. It was a place where they were connected heart to heart. And while Jesus walked the earth, did he have a physical home? No. He even said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. He stayed in Mary and Martha's house with Lazarus. He went to Peter's house. He had houses that he went and stayed in as he walked the earth. But I believe Father showed me that when he needed to feel at home, where did he go? He went to the mountain. He went off by himself where he could be just with his Father. And when he was with his Father, he was able to be at peace and rest. He was able to refresh himself and know he was loved and accepted. And he was able to reaffirm, okay, this is who I am. He was able to rest in his true identity. And it didn't matter what man said, because he didn't allow what the Pharisees or anybody else said to bother him. So when he came back from the mountains after that time alone, then he was ready to go back and interact with more people. And so how often do we need to make sure we take time to be still and quiet in our own homes so that we have the ability to have love to share with others? But if we get too busy and in too much of a cycle of go, 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 which I can get there if I'm not careful, it can lead to not being our ability to flow from a place of peace and rest and love. Jesus said in John 14:3 that he was going away to prepare a place for us. He also said he was returning to the place. So where did he return to? To the bosom of the Father. He went back to that intimate, close place with his Heavenly Father when he left this earth. And that's where he, I believe, is wanting to have everything so we can go home to that same place. He made the way for us to go back. He made the way for us to go home. He made the way for us to experience everything that Father had, not just for him, but for us. You know, it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so he wants us to recognize that the ability to be in the Father is the most important thing that we can recognize. Going home is going home to Father. Jesus is the way to the Father, but Father is the destination.
Like the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm, like the prodigal son. And so in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 18, it says, this is what God has always wanted. He, because of his plan getting messed up in the garden, he's been wanting to have his family come home to be with him for years. And so when Jesus made the way for us to go back home, there's a quote in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 and 18 that I want to share with you. It says, God had said, this is from the Old Testament, that I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then down in verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, he wants us to let him first draw us home to himself, and then he's believing to come and make his home in us. That's the way he meant for us to live life. He doesn't want us to live this life down here all by our little selves. He wants to be involved, just like an earthly father. He wants to be a father to us. That doesn't mean he's just a father up there in the sky somewhere further removed. He wants to father us. What part of our hearts have we not let him be a father? Each of us have areas we probably haven't let him, and we've tried to do it on our own. Just like the younger son in the prodigal, we call it the prodigal son story, but it's really the prodigal father, because prodigal means extravagant. So his father was pretty extravagant. But that younger son, when he finally decided to turn and go home. The first thing he had to do was humble himself. And what does Jesus say? That you humble yourself like a little child, that's who's going to see the kingdom. That's the ones that are really going to get to come home. Because when we recognize we need help and we're not all sufficient, that's when we're going to turn our hearts back towards him. Once that younger son turned his heart home, even though he had messed up and he knew he had made mistakes and he was filled with shame, what was the father's response when he came home? The father's response was a response of love. And he welcomed him home without conditions or the consequences for his actions. Love covered all of the sin, all of the garbage, all of the stink. He didn't have to clean himself up in order to be okay with Father. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come home and simply ask him to help us. He wants us to come home and relax and let him love us. As I was going to church this morning and the sun was shining brightly, he said to me, he said, "Sue, sometimes you labor really hard for the things I'm ready to freely give you." And he said, "Have you thought about the sunshine? It's shining. Do you have to do anything to receive that? All you have to do is stand out and the rays hit you." He said, "Would you just let me love you right at this moment and not feel you have to do anything except stand in the sunshine of my love?" And I think that's what I'm trying to communicate. When we come home and we're that simple to simply say, "Daddy, I need a hug. It's been a tough day. Daddy, help. I don't know what to do about this." That's when we feel secure enough to receive his love. That's when we're really going to come home and experience more of it for ourselves. In John 14:23, it talks about that he wants us to make him our home. He wants to make his home in us. Okay? It's not just about us coming home to him, but it's about him coming and living in us. So it says in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." Well, do you think Jesus is going to be pretty good to have him be in your home? Father to be in your house? Holy Spirit? I think they're going to be pretty nice. Especially if you let them not be guests and you actually let them be involved in every part of your life. But there's another verse in John 15, verses 9 and 10 in the Message Bible, which I really think is interesting. It says, "I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love." This is what the Message Bible says. Make yourself at home in my love. It's not a standoffish. It's like, I got my arms wide open. Come on, let me give you a hug. I want you to come home. And then it says, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love." That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. There's only one command to focus on. That's the command of love. All he's asking us to do is love. Okay? It says all of the commandments are fulfilled in one commandment, love. Loving God and loving each other. But you can't love until he first loves you. So if you come home and let him give you a hug, then guess what? You've got some love that you can share with somebody else. But you see, we try and get the cart before the horse. We try and go out and share all this love with other people, which we may or may not have because we haven't received it from him. You can't give away something you don't have. And so it's time to take time to receive love from him. This is the second verse that I absolutely think is the coolest verse. And when I found this in the Bible, I thought, wow, I didn't know the Message Bible could be this cool. But it's in 1 John 4, verse 17. "God is love. When you take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home, and mature in us." So we're free from worry. Now that's the Message Bible. It's a little bit different. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." That sounds quite different, doesn't it? But I like it, the fact that what we're really helping you recognize is we're taking up permanent residence in a life of love. We live in God, and God lives in us. That's what I want to show you right now. So let's pretend this is Father's home. Okay? And I just got it filled up with water, but that's just all his love. His home is so filled with love, that's what he has. God is love. It's not that he has love, God is love. So when God is somewhere, love is going to be there. So let's say this is us. This is a small little glass that I can put in the bigger glass. And when I put it in here, I'm at home. I'm at home in the love. But now when I let him be at home in me, it's when I open myself up and let him fill me. He comes in. Not only am I living in his love, but now his love is living in me. And do you know what? The enemy is out here somewhere, because when you're in love, it says perfect love casts out fear. And there's no way that the enemy can get at us when we're so encompassed with love. I believe that love will overwhelm any situation that we may find ourselves in. And when we know that we've got a big daddy that's going to protect us because we're in him, in his home, we're going to feel safe and warm. When we know that he's in us and we're going somewhere and his love is in us, we can know that he'll know how to solve the situations, because we can involve him in the different situations that we experience on a day-to-day basis. As I focused on what makes a home, I saw it was about knowing Jesus died to open the way for me to come home, which I already mentioned in John 14:6. His Father's the destination. But all that had separated us from a loving, intimate relationship with Father was taken care of on the cross. So there's nothing to stop us from experiencing this, except to simply open ourselves up to receive it, to dive into his love, and to let him dive into us, so to speak. Now, we can live aware of his presence and talk with him throughout our day, wherever we go, whatever we're about. It's not like we have to do it life by ourselves. We now have one, the maker, the creator of the universe, who wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. If we'll let him, if we'll involve him. But to experience this kind of relationship and fellowship requires complete honesty. When you're inside each other, there's not anything that's hidden. You're all open. Okay? But Father showed me something that I hadn't thought about. How many of you ever grew up in a family where when you did something wrong, your parents or someone said, "You need to go to your room."
Oh, Jesus.
And Father said, "There are a lot of my children who think that's the way I am with them when they mess up too." They think there's this wall of separation. They think they're in another room and I'm sort of over here somewhere and they're over there because they didn't do it right and they messed up, and that merits, they only merit love if they did it right. So there's others of us that may not be sure we really want Father to know every room of our heart and him to have nothing between us and him. So there's some of us that may have built some walls in our hearts, some of us that may have locked some doors over things that we just don't like about ourselves or things that happened in our lives. And so there may be places where we've sort of partitioned off the house and said, "Oh, Jesus, you can go everywhere, but don't go over there." And so I'm sensing that Father may want to just invade some of those spaces tonight and just let you know that he loves and accepts you. There is no shame about what you've done. In fact, we had somebody prophesy over us that we were going to say, "Shame off you." Some people in this nation say, "Shame on you because you messed up." But no, we're saying, "Shame off you." No, can't stick. Not yours. Not your inheritance. Jesus took the shame. And so it's time for you to let him into all the parts of your heart. But as I was praying, you know what he told me? He said, "Guess what? Some of them may be hiding from me too, in certain ways." And he said, "I love hide and seek. And I'm always going to be seeking those parts of your heart that you haven't opened to me yet. Because I want you to experience every part of me, and I want to experience every part of you. And therefore, I'm going to, with all the love in my heart, I'm going to keep seeking you. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let you alone. I'll give you time to breathe, but I'm going to keep pursuing you. So no matter where we're at, Father's always going to be searching for us. But what he wants us to get to do is get to the place where we can be at home with him, that we can kick off our shoes, relax, and be ourselves, even if we don't do it perfectly. As I was doing this, Father gave me a word prophetically that I typed out, and I'm going to pass out copies he gave me. He told me to give you each a copy of it. So I would like to take a minute and read that, because I think it may help you to have at least a point of reference, because this really blessed me. Do you realize how you feel about yourself isn't a problem for me? I'll keep looking in every room of your heart for the parts of you that you don't like. I hold the master key, love, that covers and opens each part. For love softens, love warms, love draws, love overcomes all the dark. Oh, how I long for each of you to know. My love can remove all the stains and all the pain too. When you let love in to rule your heart and life, I will make your heart my home. Then you can also know and experience being comfortable with being seen, valued, and loved. What does all that do? It brings more and more freedom and eternal life to you. For when you stay, abide in my love, we truly become one, and you and your life give off the fragrance of heaven and eternity for all to sense and see. But it's not about keeping the commands of the law. No, it's not. It's about keeping love at the forefront in all you do and say. Let me draw you first to me and then to others, for I am the only one who can transform a house into a home. My home is one of love and tenderness, one of identity and confidence in who I have made you to be. So come home and rest in me, and I will do more than you have yet to dream. So with that, I'd like to pray that as we put on the music, which you're free to go anywhere in the home, in our house, and experience, that you will have the opportunity for him to touch your heart tonight in a deep way and allow part of your heart to come home that maybe hasn't come home in the past.